One more roadblock cleared for a massive investment in Uber and the immigration debate in Australia.
You don't just get more people. What you do is get the right people.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Uber is one step closer to an investment of as much as $10 billion. Its biggest shareholder, Benchmark, and former chief executive Travis Kalanick have resolved disputes that were holding up a deal with the Japanese conglomerate SoftBank, though it's still not in the bag. The BBC's Lisha Santarelli has more.
This could be one of the biggest private startup deals on record. However, the deal could still fall through if there aren't enough interested sellers. The boss of SoftBank, the Japanese billionaire Masayoshi Son, was critical to the deal's success. Just last week, he had threatened to walk away from it and invest in Uber's rival Lyft instead. Mr. Son has put billions of dollars into the world's biggest ride-hailing companies. This includes Didi in China, Grab in Southeast Asia, and Ola in India. Now, many of these firms actually compete against each other, but with stakes in all of them, it looks like SoftBank is spreading the risk. Uber said in a statement that they believe the deal with SoftBank is a strong vote of confidence in Uber's long-term potential. The firm plans to use the money to continue its global expansion, as well as to strengthen its corporate governance. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Lisha Santarelli for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia and Europe are mixed. Japan's Nikkei fell 300 points, or 1.32%. London's FTSE 100 is up 0.2%. The pound, though, has fallen against the dollar, as some members of Prime Minister Theresa May's party have called on her to resign over stalled Brexit talks. And the price of Bitcoin is plummeting after a technology upgrade to the platform was postponed. Its total market value has shrunk by more than $38 billion since Friday. Now, new data unveiled today says world carbon emissions haven't peaked as hoped. They're actually set to rise by 2% this year, according to scientists, thanks mostly to coal use in China. Adding fuel to that fire is the White House, whose advisors will tell delegates at the UN environment meeting continuing in Bonn today that they should embrace coal, the BBC's Matt McGraw reports.
George David Banks, a special assistant to President Trump on energy and climate change, will attend an event here along with an aide to Vice President Mike Pence and representatives of the US coal and nuclear industries. Their presence to promote so-called clean coal has divided delegates, with many angered by what they see as a brazen attempt to sell fossil fuel technologies to emerging nations. Others are more hopeful, saying that broadening the UN talks to include the big US coal corporations might allow President Trump the wriggle room to stay in the Paris Climate Pact.
Matt McGraw. Immigration policy triggers strong emotions in the US, but in Australia, new research by the University of Sydney Business School shows a majority believe immigrants make their country more open and benefit the economy. Key to the research is the fact that 20 years ago, Australia moved away from family reunions and permanent settlements to attracting skilled immigrants. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australia, the young country for you and your children.
Modern Australia has been forged by wave after wave of migration, and new settlers have helped Australia to build an economy that's been the envy of the world. Tim Harcourt is from the business school at the University of New South Wales.
You look at all the great Australian brand names in business, they've all been started by migrants with no English and no capital. When you look at the economic stats, one in four Aussies is a migrant. Two-thirds of our entrepreneurs and one in two of our exporters.
About 200,000 migrants come to Australia each year. Chris Richardson, a partner at Deloitte Access Economics, says Australia's immigration intake must be carefully calibrated.
Yes, we're 24 million people on a continent of opportunity, and there is more of an argument for just bulking up in Australia than in almost any other rich nation. But if you want to raise living standards, you don't just get more people. What you do is get the right people.
My name is Ali Al-Zamili. I come from Iraq.
Ali Al-Zamili is just the sort of migrant this country needs. The former teacher from southern Iraq fled the regime of Saddam Hussein.
I do many business. I do security company. I do money transfer. I share with travel agent. I have hairdresser shop.
So life is good for you in Australia?
Yeah, it's good but hard.
The far-right One Nation Party won four seats in Australia's upper house of parliament at last year's election and is an influential political force. Its leader Pauline Hanson doesn't just want to reduce immigration, She wants to stop it altogether.
Our city roads have become parking lots, schools bursting at the seams. I call for a halt to further immigration.
In many ways, Australia behaves like a big company, actively recruiting those workers it needs overseas while rejecting many others. It's an approach that appears to have the support of the bulk of the population, which has enjoyed a quarter of a century of uninterrupted economic growth.
That's Phil Mercer in Australia. Finally, the average American CEO makes roughly $11 million, way more than you and me. But one CEO in the UK paid herself 25 times more last year. Self-made gambling boss Denise Coates of Bet365 paid herself $283 million. Her company made profits from a record $61 billion in bets. Her pay comes under fire, though, as the regulator warns that 2 million people in the UK are either problem gamblers or at risk of addiction. Now, you can download our vice-free podcast wherever you get yours. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service in London.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.